Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Frank.
Hey, Frank. Bruce, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
All right, my friend. Where are you, world traveler?
I'm in San Diego.
You are? Ooh, nice town.
Yes.
Nice town.
I'll probably be,
go ahead.
Probably be leaving tomorrow afternoon.
My your older brother, his service was there.
Hello? Hey, David.
David.
Yes, hello. Seems to be having some technical issues. I'm trying to go through the system, and no one can hear me, so I'm on my phone.
Yeah, I am too. I can't. It hung up on me. I couldn't get on the computer either.
Oh. Oh. Wow.
How about you, Frank?
I generally call in on my phone. That's what I always do is call in on my phone. Yeah, because it used to log me off at my house. I'll try it next time I'm in town. I increase my speed, but I don't think that's it either. But
no,
I'll check that out next week. Yeah.
What, David, it's asked for that pin again, asked me to be the host, and then hung up.
All right, but I think everyone's live on the air right now, but
okay.
I'm still calling through my phone. So those of you that might be listening, we might have a few technical difficulties right now, but I see that Don is on the line. Don, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Jeremiah, I see you're there. Jeremiah, I think he's there. John, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, there we go. We'll just do it this way. I'm on the phone. For some reason, the studio doesn't seem to be up, but I can come in through the phone. So, welcome. I don't know if the people who are listening, I see people are on the line. I'm sorry we're having some technical difficulties, but that's the way it is sometimes with technology these days. And it hasn't even been raining here or storming, and yet we're having issues. But just want to start the show off. We'll do it this way. And thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys for calling in and listening. And those that are on the computer, we hope that you can listen too. But we need to just go ahead and start on, and I guess I will start off. You know, one of the things that happened last week that I want to talk about is this Congresswoman Frederica Wilson issue. I understand the conversation of, I guess, you know, he knew what he signed up for. I can see how that would come out of somebody's mouth when they're, you know, just having that conversation, but I think it blew up bigger than it was. And I do understand that if the conversation would have continued and he would have fixed it, it might not have caused as much, but I do understand that it was an issue. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, after hearing, as I've told you before, I try to listen to a number of the major news channels to get a full picture of what's going on, plus, minus, and in between. And after all of that and hearing the general and so forth, I think you're right in the fact that although our current president isn't the most eloquent in presidential language at times and probably doesn't want to be, there's such a hunger to hang on every word he says that, oh, he said that, all I need to hear, and then they run one way or another with it. I mean, they don't let him breathe in that regard. But because the only reason I say that about the comment you just made, David, is about he knows what he got into. If you use that statement alone, it sounds callous, it sounds cold, it sounds impersonal. But if you hear the general talk about how they in the military they talk about it, and even Frank might have a feel for this better than I do, that it wasn't meant to be demeaning. It was what a sacrifice this gentleman makes because he knows going into it what's at stake and what can happen.
Bruce, don't promote that anymore. Stop where you are, because let me just say this to you right here. The president of the United States was wrong, and General Kelly was wrong. General Kelly is a combat guy. He is not a chaplain. He is not a minister. He is not an admin guy, okay? I'm an admin guy. We have specific books that are written that are put together for what you say in a bereavement case, okay, when somebody is killed. We do not let generals call up and shoot off their hips. We give them a script to use, and that's what they talk from. And that's what the CASI assistance officer talks to that visits the home. Okay, I actually stop in when I'm a young guy. I stop in, I talk to a lawyer, and I talk to a chaplain. I'm given specific instructions. There's manuals out that tell you how to communicate, and you don't use that language that General Kelly indicated. You know, so I just want to alert you to that. That doesn't happen, all right? It should have not happened at all, okay?
Okay. And Frank, let me ask you a question, Frank. My name is Don Wiggins, and I'm the father of Sergeant Joe Wiggins, and my son just got shot. Give me an example of what should or what you think should have happened.
Ma'am, you know, I'm going to tell you this is Commander Frank McKinney, and your son was a very honorable service, well-liked by all the people in the company that we have. He was really valuable to the company as well, and we are deeply sorrowful for your loss and for the loss to the United States Navy and to the loss of our country.
Thank you very much.
All right. So, you know, I, as an officer in the military, I've represented congressmen. I have been to congressmen who have lost their sons, who are Marines who have lost their sons. I went to high dignitaries as an officer. Now, let me tell you, it isn't any fun doing that. But one thing you've got to understand, that if you say the wrong thing, whether it's face-to-face or by telephone, and you start them to crying, that's not the outcome you're trying to get, okay? And now, the outcome you're trying to get is respect. Now, the mistake that was made in the White House is that the president is an amateur, okay, and people elected him because he's an amateur. He went to General Kelly, who's an amateur, and General Kelly should have went to the chaplain or the minister in there. Now, every military operation has chaplains in there. I'm always, in fact, my offices are always in their area with the lawyers and the chaplains, okay? And when they have to make a statement, we normally create that statement before they need to have a no. So the president, for instance, if he had a good staff, that statement should have been written days ago, and the script should have never came from General Kelly. It should have already been there, and somebody should have been bugged and said, Admiral, you need to call, or the president, you need to call, and this is the script that you need to talk to right here. So that should have never happened. There's manuals out in each of the armed forces of how to communicate with a decedent's family.
Okay, I get all that, guys, but there's been other presidents that have called some families before, and it'll happen again. So whether that's out of script or out of order or not politically correct or whatever the phrase is, I get that, and I respect that because you're right, Frank. You don't want to say something that invokes more pain on someone versus less. I get that. But also, I've always thought, and tell me if it doesn't fit here, that if a person's sincere in wanting to feel express emotionally how he or she and the country feels about their particular wife, husband, son, daughter, whatever, that ultimately you don't hang on every single word by itself, and there's got to be some room for that too. That's all I'm saying. I respect because you have that
Bruce,
as far as military, but the human element comes into it too. And I got to believe in other conversations, even with the scripted language that should be used. And I'm not demeaning that or saying that shouldn't be done. That some real emotional language discussion goes on as well to try and comfort that person if they respond in a certain way. It's not just, here it is, da-da-da, hang up, thank you, goodbye. That's not the way it always works. We know that.
You know, one of the comments that Trump was making was that President Obama did not make these phone calls. But I do know that President Obama would have a dinner or something that he would invite all the Gold Star families to. So I think, you know, it's not always making the phone call, although Mr. President Obama did both. He would, when he could, he would make the phone calls, and then, but he would invite all to a dinner. And then our president, for some reason, just keeps this rhetoric up with the Congresswoman, Frederica Wilson. You know, why do you have to have, why is our president always fussing and fighting with people? John, answer that question. It doesn't seem very professional.
Well, I think we're kind of taking this in a different direction. I mean, you know, we're discussing what should have been said, what was said. But I think, you know, what we need to be looking at is what the Congresswoman actually did. She took a portion of this phone call, which has been proven by the wife of the soldier. She took a portion of it and ran with it and tried to make it political, to the sense where she's now out there in front of the cameras calling herself a rock star. You know, so regardless of, you know, the words that he used, if it followed protocol, when I read the entire script, and matter of fact, you know, the wife actually came out and she said that she had only heard excerpts of the phone call and decided to make, you know, her husband a political statement. And so I think that's more of the story here than what was actually said. It's, you know, you've got these Democrats who they will do anything to burn Trump and to make themselves look good. And here you have somebody who wasn't, you know, didn't listen to the entire conversation, running with a portion of it, and then, you know, pulling a stunt like this. And I think that's the bigger story. I mean, I also saw another video on YouTube where he called the second soldier of the four that was died. And, you know, it couldn't have been a more respectful a phone call. And I guarantee he wasn't reading off a script. He asked about their kids. One of them's a football player at Missouri, I believe. You know, another kid's a soccer player. You know, I don't think people, when something like that happens, want to hear from somebody reading off a script. That's too fake, and I think that's an insult.
Well, let me just tell you about the insult. The reason why there's a script is the script is just like a teleprompter. It gives you guidance, okay? You can jump in and jump out of it, but it gives you guidance, and it prevents this type of problem that the president has, okay? So I really don't care what you think. I'm telling you what the president is supposed to do, okay? The president is supported by the armed forces of the United States. He is engaging the armed forces of the United States. And that's the way the armed forces of the United States does business. We do not let generals. It's one thing to talk to the troops in the field. That's what General Kelly would do. But General Kelly would hardly ever have the opportunity to talk to a spouse or someone who's bereaving. That would be the job of my job or a chaplain's job, okay? That would not be General Kelly. If he was talking, I would be there, and he would have a script. Now, whether he followed that script, that's the information he needs to put in language and deliver that to the family. It's the same type of thing if you're at a funeral, at a military funeral on a government property. There's a certain protocol that's always followed, and it's that protocol is issued by United States government office, okay? The same office that comes underneath the president issues that for all the total armed forces. It's to how to handle those matters, so you don't wing it, all right? Again, you do not wing it. He doesn't have discretionary. He should be following that. He should have asked for that. That chaplain that's up there in the White House area should have been in his office and should have told him, hey, this is what we do. This is our protocol. These are our options. Or he should have told the chief of staff for that. Okay, and that's what they should have done. Now, the other problem with this is that, first of all, everything that you always – one of the rules in the armed forces is you always know your audience. So – General Kelly and the president did not know their audience. So that's a mistake right there. You need to be beat over the head, you know, with a whooping stick because you didn't know your audience. Your audience is you've got a speakerphone, you're riding in an automobile, and the entire conversation was heard by everybody in that automobile, including the spouse, including his parents, including his mentor, which is the congresswoman, was his mentor. Okay, they heard the entire speech. It was a bum speech. You should have never talked about he knew what he was getting into. People do not join the armed forces to get killed, all right? They join the armed forces for other reasons, to have a better life, but not to get killed. Some people are going to get killed in the armed forces, and we talk about that. People like me talk about that to the people that come underneath us. But they do not join the armed forces to be killed. So the president was absolutely incorrect about it. Now, the other problem with this, the Marine Corps is a much harsher service. It's part of the Department of the Navy, but it's a much harder service than any of the service, much harsher service. So you wouldn't want a Marine general is not going to provide an eloquent speech. If you want an eloquent speech, you're going to get the Air Force or Navy officer, typically, all right? So the last thing I want to tell you is that the information the general put out, unfortunately, it was totally incorrect about what he said on his second time at the podium at the press conference. Okay, so he basically lied, or he was incorrect in his memory, and that's very unfortunate because I'm expecting him to be honorable, and I'm expecting him to come on air and apologize to the congresswoman at the earliest possible opportunity. If he does not do that, it's going to be very unfortunate for members of the armed forces.
And, you know, and that's what the real problem is. It looks like the Trump administration has an issue with apologizing when they make a mistake. If they would have apologized, let's say 4 or 5 days ago, we wouldn't be talking about this today. The best way to defuse a situation is to address it quickly. And they did not do it. And now here we are talking about something that happened last week. And another thing, too, when you say, stand by, we have the President of the United States of America that would like to talk with you. The first thing a person does is hit that speakerphone because the president is talking to me. So I can imagine that woman, that mother, getting a call like that. Everybody in the car heard him. Come on.
I don't know one admiral. I don't know the one admiral's ever given a speech like that off his cuff. All right. And I've worked for plenty of them. I was an aide in the Navy. I prepare the script. That's what I do. I know somebody's died. I already have that prepared. You don't even have to ask me or tell me. I give you a script. Now, whether you follow it item by item, that's a different story. But where I get my information from is consulting with a chaplain and going to this what's called the Decedent Affairs Manual.
All right.
You're missing here is that the wife came out and said that's not what happened. Does anybody here know the next
words that came out of his mouth?
She didn't say that.
The wife didn't say that. The wife and
Well,
and
perhaps
her,
she
and
did say
parents.
That. She came out and said that the congresswoman was making this a political thing regarding her husband, and that's not what was said. Does anybody here
you'll
know
never,
the next words that came out of Trump's
never,
mouth after he said he knew what he signed up for?
You'll
Where
never
you hear
get that,
from?
I guarantee you. You'll never get that. Let me tell you what's happening here.
What was the words
the
that he came out of his mouth after he said he knew what he signed up for? Does anybody
you'll
know? Because I have
that.
Seen the transcript. Oh, crap. It's been in the news. The final words
it's
he
not.
Said after that, but
it's
he
not.
Did it
you,
anyway.
You
and that
Fox
is the type
camp.
Of
you
men and women
Fox
we
Fox
want
camp.
Serving in our military. See, it's typical Democrat stuff. Typical Democrat stuff. Rachel Maddow. You know, all the guys on MSNBC, you know, you don't listen to the full story, and then right away you come on here, and Trump's an amateur, and General Kelly's a liar. Kelly's son died in Afghanistan. He had the same thing happen to him.
It has nothing to do with yesterday's speech. It has nothing – his son dying in Afghanistan has nothing to do with last week's speech on Friday.
What does that
have
to do
has absolutely nothing to do with it. Okay, other than maybe he was thinking of him when he told a big whopper, because let me tell you, everything he said was incorrect last week. Everything was incorrect.
I don't see anybody in the military coming out and telling him that it was. I just hear you telling me that it is. How do I know you're telling the truth?
Well, I will tell you like the lady, the press secretary said, take it how you want, but I'm a retired Navy commander. You know, I'm a truth teller. That's what I do. I tell generals and admirals what's really right, not what they want to hear, okay? And so you just have to take it from that. But I'm going to tell you right now, everything that you said in regard to what the wife not being – the wife and the congresswoman and the parents are all lined up together. They're lockstep together. Trust me, that's why I said they needed to know their audience, because the audience is that that congresswoman thinks of him as her son, and the family thinks of her as his mother, even though he has parents, because she helped raise the kid, okay? So I'm going to tell you what it is. You're not going to hear any deviation from those three people, and that's the problem.
We already have. The statements are the wife already made her statement saying the congresswoman took bits and pieces of it and is making it political.
No, she never said that.
What else do we need?
John, she never said that, John.
Well, that's because you didn't hear it on MSNBC or CNN.
The funeral was here in Miami yesterday. She never
John,
said
you're
that,
funny,
John.
Man. You're John, you're funny. That's one thing I had to say.
What TV are you watching? In Moon TV?
Hey,
no, I'm watching Rachel Maddow.
Hey,
you know, the same people you watch.
There's going to be no air between the congresswoman, the parents, and the wife. Trust me, okay? There will be no space, no air. That's why I said he should have known his audience. I would have said, hey, Mr. President, let me tell you a few things before you call down there. They're all from the same neighborhood, okay? They all lived and resided for each other for like 12 or 13 years. They're tight,
Miami,
all right? There
Miami
is no
guards,
devi-
John. Miami
yeah,
guards,
there is no deviation. They screwed up. They screwed up because they didn't get their facts done. They just hastily made a call.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't possibly know what could possibly be wrong with saying that he knew what he signed up for, but he did it anyway, and that's the type of men and women we want in our military.
Well,
I don't see what is wrong with that
you're
statement.
You're not a sensitive, you're not a chaplain, you're not a priest, you're not a preacher, you're not a sensitive individual, so that's why you wouldn't get that job to do that, neither would the president. He would never get that job except for somebody put him in office. And now he's been put in office, and he effed up, okay? That's what he did. He effed up, okay?
No, he didn't. No,
right?
No, he didn't.
Let me tell you something. I have a commission from the United States military, from the President of the United States, and I'm telling you that the President and General Kelly both screwed up big time.
Well, let's add one more thing to the picture.
And they are an embarrassment. They are embarrassed.
Oh, come on. Here we go with the embarrassment stuff again. The biggest embarrassment was Obama. Let's talk about Bo Bergdahl. Let's talk about him and Obama's embarrassing freaking deal to trade billions or millions to get him back, and how five guys, we traded five Taliban back for a traitor, a guy who has been proven guilty or is, already claimed that he's guilty in this, and then you have six other Marines who died trying to rescue this guy, and Obama brings the family members, and they start quoting Muslim and the sayings in the Rose Garden. I mean, come on, that's a bonehead move right there.
Guys, let me add something on what we were focused on, because I know Dave wants to move on Ms. Wilson and her position. She may know that family very well. But another aspect you haven't heard anybody talk about is she and more than once, they even said another time when she was on the House floor, she wants to call everything or a number of things racist. She said that the reason this was going on and she was being attacked because it's racist. The reason she wanted to wear her hats, which I guess is her trademark, on the House floor. And the House floor said, no, you can't do that. We don't do that. And she called whoever she was talking with or communicating with racist. I said, the more I thought about this, is there's another aspect to this. She's not guiltless in this. It takes two to argue. It takes two to make up. And the key word is two, not one. They're so quick to beat up on the president. Well, it takes two. He may not be perfect, but neither is she. And I almost get the impression, at least from her, that if you're going to say every time you disagree with someone and can't come up with an answer, well, you're racist, that's an insult to the minority population of all colors. You can't keep going back to that as a, well, I can't think of an answer, so you're racist. That's crazy. That's not thinking out the problem and coming up with an intelligent answer. And that smacks a lot to people, both of all minorities and majorities and everything else, not just the black community, the white community, the red or the yellow community. Nobody likes that. Think about what you're saying come up with an intelligent answer.
Hey, that has, this,
and,
your statement has
state,
nothing to do
state,
with David's
and
topic.
And state your position. Don't just say, well, I can't think of anything now, so you're racist. That's crazy.
Again, this is not about Congressman Wilson. This is about the President of the United States.
Oh,
it's
it
about
is,
General
Frank.
Kelly.
It's about both
Let me
of
finish.
Them. It's about
Can
both
I finish?
Of them. It's about both of them, Frank. It's not
All right,
just
well,
about
then
the President.
I'll listen. You take it down your lane. I do not concur with you, all right? If you wanted
okay.
to have some different input or a different perspective, I'd be happy to give it to you. All
okay.
right,
but
I see that
all I'm saying
I see
is,
that I see that you want to talk about what her asking to put a hat to wear a hat in Congress, because women do wear hats in churches, so I wouldn't know
yes.
the world why you couldn't wear it in Congress, okay? But they wear them in churches, but I wouldn't understand why you couldn't wear it in Congress.
I don't make the rules in Congress, and neither do you. Evidently, at least for now, is a rule that's been there for quite some time.
Well, I know, but her hat and what happened in Congress has nothing to do with what happened last week.
Yeah,
on Monday, when the president belatedly tried to make a call to satisfy the news cycle, tried to make a call and muffed up the call because he consulted with General Kelly instead of his chaplain, all right, there for some advice on how and what to say, all right? And since he's a new president, he needs to get in the saddle and understand what he should do and how he should do it. Also, you need to understand if you're talking to a minority community, you need to know how to speak to them. You may speak to them differently than you speak to another community, such as the Jewish community.
You know, I talk
you
to
need
the minority
all right. I'm just,
people that
I'm,
I know.
I'm telling
but
you what I've learned.
Understand his point
as,
for what he's saying.
I'm telling you what
as,
I've learned.
Not as,
yeah,
any
I'm telling you what I've learned
and
what the military has taught
group.
Me. All right,
people,
I give up. I give up.
People.
You guys know.
No.
All right.
You don't know. Nobody has the whole answer. All I was illustrating with Frederica or Representative Wilson's comment is that should not be a fallback position. And you're starting to get the feeling that when in doubt, use the R word. And that's not an intellectual answer. Think,
I
you know,
agree.
Talk
so when,
to me. Let's investigate why you're upset or whatever. Don't just call me this or that because I know I'm not. I assume you're not. So don't call me that in that regard. That's the
right.
only point I was trying to make. That's all.
All right. I think we've killed that one.
All right.
So, let's talk about one other thing that came up just recently last week, and it made me think what's going on in the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. The reports, President Trump is going to release him, and it's not nothing that he was hiding. It's that 25 years the reports become available, so the 25 years are up. But the CIA doesn't want the rest of the report to hit the market. They've been trying to convince him not to release the reports. Jeremiah, are you there? Why would that be going on? So, you know, it makes me wonder, is there more to this story? I mean, we all know the story, but why would you be trying to – why would the CIA not want this report released? You have any idea?
The only thing I could think of is there's some intelligence that they don't want the normal population to understand or know about the situation. That's the only conclusion I can conclude at this time. Wouldn't you think the same thing? It would be something they don't want released as far as information or some type of something
well,
that should be.
Right? Yeah, their involvement in it in the second shooter.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't want to say that, John, but thanks.
Well, they keep bringing up the aspect of the head movement, so that keeps bringing up the doubt of was there more than one shooter? I mean, I don't know the answer to that, but that's on a lot of people's minds is a big question mark.
Well, also that Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't alone, but then again, before that, he was in Mexico. He was working for the CIA. There might be something in there that points
yep.
fingers back. And
yep.
I'm curious as to what would we be in if we find that out. what happens? I'm not sure. What do you think, John?
Well, I've already said they don't want it released because they probably were involved in it and there was a second shooter. You know, there's probably evidence to the point. You know, I say release it.
Don, what do you think?
I totally agree with you, John. For once, you hit it dead in the head this time, buddy. I mean,
let me write that down.
On point.
Let me put John and Don.
Oh, yeah, take this down.
John, you're right on point. And you know what, John? The good thing about it is 45 wants it released because it'll distract the people and get the hook off of him.
I hardly think that's the reason. I think it more has to go with when Trump was elected and during his inauguration speech, he said he was going to give power back to the people who elected him. And if the people want it released, you know what? Release it. And if the five former presidents didn't have the balls to do it or didn't want to do it, you know what? Let them release it. I'd like to know what's in it. I'd like to know what's also in the Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton transcripts from the little airport meeting there, too. I'd like to see the transcripts of the IRS meddling with the conservative, nonprofit groups. There's a lot of things I'd like to see released that just don't get released.
Well, this one here has been sealed for over 50 years, John. Maybe they'll seal those and they'll be released when you and I leave Earth.
And then the day after that, Obama's will come out.
All right.
Barry Satoro.
Something else that's going on, and I don't know if the men here caught on to it, but there's a new web response to the Weinstein piece. There's a site now called hashtag MeToo.
MeToo, yeah.
And that's for the women, all the women who have been sexually abused by men, they can go in here and put their report. So it's called hashtag MeToo. And I have a defense to that because I think as many women that have been harassed, men have been harassed too. I know I have. I was embarrassed how I was. But anyway, this site is going around, and there are thousands of women now who are on this site putting down hashtag MeToo. But don't you feel that it's both sides of the coin? And women get this and they run with it. You know, we've been abused. We're single mothers and all that kind of thing. But, you know, when is it that men step out and say, it's time for everyone to know it's on both sides? What do you think,
David? I have some direct knowledge on that. May I jump in?
Sure.
I'm glad you said that. We tend to think, and I'm sure the percentage wise is very lopsided, women being the on the receiving end of that. But you are exactly right. Men do too. I know I never have, but I've had some friends. One that had some serious problems with just that, by an overpowering woman in this case that just harassed him to no end years and years ago. So I wonder why they never even mention that it can be both ways, and we all know that it is. It's not to demean what's going on with women, but you should also not ignore the other side as well.
Right.
Never mentioned. Never.
Yeah. What about you, Don? I actually, have experienced it, and I know a lot of people, men that I've known who are professionals, have also. I mean, but men aren't allowed to say it, really. I mean, you go to your peers and you say, this girl, she abused me, or I got harassed. They laugh at you. Whereas the other side of the coin, you're supposed to be very serious about it.
Isn't there still the old mention that it's not macho to admit it?
Yeah. But I can imagine
David,
for every woman there's a man.
Yeah.
Hey, David, my wife and I, we had a shelter for battered women and children in Flint, Michigan for about 15 years, in which my wife ran. And surprisingly enough, about 25% of the people that would complain would be men, where the women would abuse them.
Right.
Boy, that many down.
But my question to you then, Don, is you had a place for women that were abused. There's no place like that for men. I mean, there's no abused place that men can go to, and they're just not. It's just not there. But I think it's about time for men to step up and say, look, this is a two-way thing. There are men
David. Well, see, David, the thing is, we had no way to accommodate them because it was for women. But the thing is, the story would come out is that she abused him first. And
right.
He ego would not let him admit it. And he retaliated because he was abused first. But they don't have places to go for men. I mean, but when you look at the whole issue, one lady actually came out and said, you know, I got tired of him. So I jumped on him and hit him in the head with a skillet, and he hit me back. He hit me back. Well, what do you think is going to happen to you?
Right. Jeremiah, what do you think? You're a younger guy. What do you think about this? Do you feel men are abused as much as women by other women? Well, Jeremiah, are you there? Okay, John, what do you feel?
I don't know. I mean, I've got a lot of women customers, and I've always made the joke. I tell my wife, I said, I've seen more of my customers' wives in their nightgowns than my own wife. So, you know, but no, I don't know, you know. I'm sure it goes both ways. It's really never happened, you know, to me, but I'm sure it does. And yeah, if that's the case, I think there's more of an issue though with the women who make false accusations against guys, you know, I mean, and then you end up ruining careers and things like that. And then nothing ends up happening to them. You know, I think that's a big issue too.
Isn't that a form of abuse in itself?
Yes. Do you think women who do false accusations against men should be prosecuted?
Oh, absolutely. They should get the same sentence the guy would get if he was found guilty.
Right.
I like that.
Jeremiah, was that you?
Yes, it was.
Okay, what are your thoughts on this as a younger guy?
I was
going to
say something about that. Pretty much with sexual harassment, it's most of the time it's taken to a whole another level. Like John said, men start to lose their jobs, their welfare, like, you know, providing for your family, incarceration, shame, embarrassment, and it was all a hoax. You know, she made it up because she wasn't getting the attention she wanted, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And there's a lot of times where women put themselves, I'm not making excuses for men or an excuse for the situation, but there's a lot of times women put themselves in a situation where the way they dress, the way they carry themselves, the way you talk to a man, you know, you're more flirtatious than you need to be at work. But when he crosses the line, now he's like, oh, so wrong. Like, you know, so I don't like that part of it, you know. And most of the time it's like the woman's always right. For example, like the child support thing, like you could have had a dude that was trying to be there. You didn't want him there. You just put him on child support. You told the courts you'd never try to do anything. You never try to be there when it's a false situation, you know? So
right.
It's always in the female's gear as far as driving. They always have the advantage. And I think something needs to be in place to find out if this young lady is really telling the truth, especially with sexual harassment. With actual physical contact, there are things to find out if you did get raped or whatever the case may be. But with sexual harassment, there's no real way to find out if this actually occurred unless there's some video or text messages or letters or something like that. But if it's no physical evidence, there's no way you can tie this person to actually doing that, which is oblivious to losing your job, your career, the shame, all the negative things that follow.
Right. All right. Let me ask a question.
Hey, David, yeah. Can I put a – let me just tell you my experience. Okay. I've worked in all male outfits because I'm a submarine guy. And I can tell you that when a top-notch submarine guy gets in trouble, sexual relationship trouble, to my surprise, these very honorable men that I work with consider the women to be bitches.
Explain that.
I'm telling you what I learned. Let me just say this right here. In the day when I was in the service, if I came into an activity, the only women in the activity would be working in my organization. There wouldn't be any other women in the organization in the submarine force. Okay, so I brought the first group of women in, and I also sent some women home because of the treatment that they indicated to me they were getting from their fellow officers, all right, which I can confirm that because you got to understand that I served initially on submarines where I sometimes was the only black guy on the submarine and the only person in other cases that was not a steward or a servant on the submarine, okay? So So I didn't invent this. I didn't create this. I was surprised by it, but I've overheard that conversation, and I have been involved in it. That was my playground area, is to take care of personnel matters or people matters, including the things we just talked about earlier in the show, including being the liaison to the wives to support our operations that we were undergoing. So I'm just going to tell you again, that in the day that I was in the service, when a man and a woman got into trouble, sexual trouble, to my surprise, the organization rumble was that the women were guilty and were bitches, okay? It was never looked at as being the man's issue or problem, okay? That would be an organizational thing. That would be the tone, the music that would be playing in the background, okay? So I'll just tell you
wow.
that. So, mm-hmm. all right, and that I didn't create that. That's what I learned, and that's what I observed.
Frank, I got a question for Frank. Frank, in the military, in that situation, if you ever saw that or somehow knew about that, what kind of struggle did you go through to even dare to bring it up and say so and so is guilty, or what was that a hard thing to really wrestle with or not?
Well, for me, you got to understand, you know, I dropped out of high school, joined the military, and worked my way up through all the pay grades. So I went up to about 18 pay grades, all right? So I didn't have any fear because I'm what they call a Mustang. You know, that's kind of like wild, okay? So I normally, in my capacity, even as a lieutenant, my higher ups would say, hey, if you don't give us what we want as an organization, I'm going to send my lieutenant over. So I'm a pretty, big bite guy. Okay. So I tell the reason why I'm a Mustang and I'm an LDO, because I'm the one that's going to tell the admiral that you're effed up or you're messed up. Okay. Or this stuff isn't right. All right. I'm a former enlisted. I have tenure in the system because I'm former enlisted. So the worst that will happen to me, I'll be the top enlisted pay grade if they fired me, or I'll be the top warrant officer pay grade if they fired me, or I'll be a senior officer, which is what I retired as a senior officer. So I talk truth to power. That's what I do. All right, that's the thing. So, you know, and so a lot of people don't do that. They don't have no's in their vocabulary. But, you know, I've had guys stick their actual – colonels or captains stick their bars in my eye because I didn't listen to them or I wasn't obedient to their thought process. Okay. All right. By the way, I'm not a weakling, so I didn't call out the shore patrol or the police or whatever, you know, but I just want to tell you that. So I'm just giving you some feedback. That's the thing that I found to my surprise. And it had to do with sexual relationships that an officer or two chief petty officers were having. That's two people at the E7 pay grade, which are pretty senior in the military. And one of them was a 9, an E9, and the other one was a 7. And there was some trickery in there from the woman's standpoint of, you know, of making phone calls and playing like she, but the bottom line was, is that the fault lied with the female as far as the guys were concerned.
Okay. Frank, I have a question. On the submarine, are there women in the military that are assigned to ships also? I mean, there are two distinct things. The submarine is one, and then there's regular battleships and stuff like that. But are women assigned to, like, Marines? I know they're assigned to the battleships.
The problem, to take you back a little bit, there were two services. There were women's service in the Marine Corps and the Navy, and then there was the regular Navy. And they wore similar uniforms, and they worked at the same locations. But now they did away with that, those separate services, and they made the one service with one uniform, so to speak, in the armed forces. So when I was on in the service, women could not be assigned at a given most of the time to combat positions. And so they weren't assigned to any ships in the Navy other than what they call tenders. Tenders are repair ships. And then they went and tugboats, stuff that didn't deploy. And women have to come off those ships when they're pregnant, so many weeks pregnant as well, which was another issue. So as they develop, you know, now you've got women, you know, there were always women pilots, but they were never on aircraft carriers. There weren't women stationed on aircraft carriers when I joined the service. There weren't women on submarines. There weren't women on destroyers. There were not women on battleships. But so nowadays, the last place in the Navy was submarines for women to get into. And or let's say maybe the last place is actually the SEAL program, being a sea, air, land delivery guy, okay? And the Marine Corps is in the Marine Corps side of things is being the infantry part. That's the last area in the Marine Corps, and that has not been infiltrated, the infantry part of it, okay? That's that standard thing. Whose standards are you going to use? Are they going to meet our standards? Yada, 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 okay? And Army is just – they have two – I think they have four ladies that have qualified in the Army as Rangers. And that's an elite corps of people. Submarines have about – I think they have at least 30 or more women involved in submarines now. You know, still there's a lot more room to have them, but you've got to accommodate them. And I say, you know, just like you – and that's the way the military does it. It accommodates you. In other words, we're not ready for you, but we're going to accommodate you and try to figure out how to get ready for you. Okay.
All right. Okay. I want to move on because there are a couple of other things I want to talk about. But one of the things that has been in my mind is, and I think we've said this several times on this show, is because of all this politics, because of all this playing around, we're not getting the news or the things that are necessary for Americans to actually understand what's going on. And I say this, one of the things that is going to happen on January 22nd, 2018, TSA is going to start not accepting driver's license from some of the states. But we've not heard that. I picked that up from someone else who finally told me. I did the research and found out that there are 13 states that if you show up at the airport to ride a plane, TSA is going to turn you around. But nobody's saying anything about that.
What are they going to
do? That's happening in Michigan.
It's happening. Michigan is not one of them.
No, we had Secretary of State was on, and Michigan also, if you want to cross the border, you can't use just a driver's license either to go into Canada.
No.
Right.
Unless you have a special pass.
You know, in 2005, Congress passed this Real ID Act, which set strict and more secure requirements for state driver's license and ID cards. And there are 13 states that have not followed that guideline. Kentucky, Maine, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, and Washington. So if you show up for a plane after January 22nd, with one of those licenses, you won't be able to get on the flight. But no one, I mean, those are the things that we in America should know, but we're not getting because of all this fake news. I don't want to call it
news. What are they going to accept?
You have to get a special license.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Or the state.
Yep. And in Michigan here,
your passport.
Mine just got renewed in August, and it's good for 4 years. And this new license is coming out, like David said, in January. They're not going to give me a prorated amount. I have to pay for a brand new full 4-year license again.
You can always use your passport.
Yeah. Can't you use your passport?
Yeah, but who carries passports?
A lot of people in the United States don't have
fly.
I carry my passport. I carry my passport with me.
Well, Frank, you're a jet setter. You got the passport.
Hey, don't
worry. That's right. I got to get mine renewed, though.
Yeah.
Frank, you don't carry it when you're just doing domestic flight. Do you carry it all the time?
You have to carry your passport. The reason why is if you go in like San Diego and you want to go over to Tijuana, you got to have a passport.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to go, so you have to, So what I do is I have a special bag, a travel bag, and in that travel bag there's a small compartment. I have to keep my passport in there. That's so I don't get away out to the.
Huh?
I go to Hawaii and I may decide to go to Japan or Australia or something.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so,
like I said,
yeah.
Jet setter.
Yeah, you got to carry your passport, man. I've got to get mine updated and renewed, but other than that, it's good for a long period of time. And if you lose your identification, that's what's going to save you.
A lot of people don't even know your passport expires every 10 years.
Right? In fact, they'll give you two types of passports also now. I only have the book type, but they'll give you a non-book type as well.
Like a card?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. I don't have
that.
You pay a little extra for it, but they'll issue that as well.
But then where do you put all the fancy stamps of everywhere you've been?
Oh, no. You don't mess with the stamps. That's what the customs guys do. But when you go into Europe, for instance, you'd only use one stamp coming and one going. So you can go to a bunch of countries in Europe, but they're only supposed to mess with your passport coming and going one time.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can travel a lot, and there's the passport book probably has 15 or more pages in it on both sides, so you got 30 pages.
All right.
But you don't have to get a stamp. You don't have to get a stamp at every country.
Okay. Okay, so my only point with that was we need to get the news back to the way it was and all this stuff going on, and I don't know how we do that. Those are not elected officials or anything. Those are just people making decisions for what we get, what we're feeded.
Okay, thank you.
And, we're not there. But I want to go into another subject right before. We only got a few minutes left, like 6 minutes left. But one of the pieces of America that has always been considered a man's piece has been the Playboy magazine. So I want to talk about this magazine because November, December issue starts it changing a little bit. And I want to get your thoughts on this because that particular magazine, that's what young boys got caught with and they're under their beds and everything, that has considered a manly piece, the Playboy magazine. But the articles and anything are good. The women just
really, David?
Yeah. Pardon me?
You read the articles?
Yeah. Anyway, actually, I had a key at one time to the Playboy Club.
Yeah, really, David?
David. Really?
Anyway, my point with this is in November, December issue, which comes out October 31st, you have your first transgender Playmate centerfold.
Really?
Perfect for Halloween.
For Halloween.
What do you think about that, Don? Times are changing.
Yeah, but I don't think I want to see that. I used to watch Playboy. I used to look at Playboy for the pictures. And, come on, man. I don't want to see that.
A whole new definition, Don, of trick or treat.
Yeah, trick or treat. I don't even want to be either one of them.
Let's talk to a younger guy. Come on, Jeremiah. What do you think about having a transgender Playmate centerfold for the Playboy magazine?
I won't be a spectator or a customer on that.
Well, do you think it's going to make a dent in the sales of the magazine? And do you think it says something about where we're going as men?
True, true, true. I still think we have a large amount of undercover guys out there. So they'll still sell some, but it won't be as much as it used to. We have a lot of undercover guys.
I think the poses will be interesting, though. I mean, you can have a guy doing squats and maybe weightlifting or maybe hiking a football or something like that.
Hey, David, can I ask a question of all the panelists before we end up with no time?
Sure. Got 4 minutes. Go ahead.
All right.
John,
hey,
hiking
guys.
A football?
Yeah, hiking a football.
All right. Enough with that. I got
John
something that's really bothering me, and I wonder if it bothers you guys or if you're seeing it all. Up here in Michigan, I've noticed there's one company that has large flagpoles and big, beautiful American flags flying all the time, and I won't mention their name because I don't want to give them a plug, but they do. And it got me thinking, and I went around my own little town here of about 250,000 people, and I can't tell you how many empty flagpoles I see now. Not a flag to be seen. And it didn't start with Trump. It's been gradually becoming that way over time. Does that bother you guys? That bothers me to no end.
Well, a lot of them, you know, Bruce, the reason that I hear from customers of mine is that legally they need to be lit at night. And so for some people,
no,
it's a hassle,
not true,
you know.
Anymore, John, that's not true anymore. State law. You're right, it was, but not anymore. It does not have to be lit. And,
all right,
and
then, yeah, there's absolutely no excuse.
And the answer I got in one township, gentlemen, which just galled me, was, well, it's a distraction, so you can't have a certain size flag flying. I said, give me a break. You mean to tell me the phones and everything else is not a distraction? I would much rather have people distracted by an American flag flying than that. I could not believe that answer. And I just wondered if you guys are seeing that, or is it unique to the Midwest or what?
I fly one every night.
Well, I think if you fly a flag at night without a light, you're not patriotic, and you are in the knee kneeling contest if you don't have a light on the flag at night. The protocol was, you know, the military, we take the flag down every evening at sunset,
right,
and we bring it up in the morning, and we also honor it with a bugle play, and we stop. All cars stop on the base, and they sit in their cars at attention. If you're walking at the base, you turn towards the music, and you salute. But the flag does come down. It doesn't stay up all evening, and it's cared for. I mean, that's really what's happening. We care for the flag.
Right.
So all these other deals where houses are flying them and other places, if it doesn't have a light on it, in my mind, because that's the way the deal was, okay, that you fly a flag at night with a light on, or otherwise you take it down with a ceremony. You know, that's what the Cub Scouts do, that's what the Boy Scouts do, and that's what the military does, and other military-style activities.
My point, Frank, was I see a lot of bare poles that never see a flag at all anymore, day, night, or in between. That's what I was concerned about.
Okay, and I just, you know, and my thing is, I told you before, but I've never broken out my flag. I have a couple of them. I've never broken them out, and it's because of my feelings towards the conduct of the nation in relationship to people of color.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we got about 15 seconds.
Sorry for the sour note.
Not a sour note.
That's
you're
okay.
Right.
But I want to thank everyone for showing up. We had some technical difficulties, but we made it through. The guys, the panels are great, and they know how to help me make it through. So I want to say thank you, and we will see again everyone next week with the Repaired Show. So you guys have a great week.
You
guys,
all
have
a great week.
Week.
Have a great week. Stay safe.
You too.
All right, guys,
care,
have
guys.
A great week.
Bye-bye.
Great week, fellas.